You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I spoke to Dr. Nick Rawlins from the Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago about how deer may have had something to do with the extinction of moa, and also how this ties in with making Stewart Island predator-free. Here he is now.
Deer versus moas. It's not alien versus predator, but it's close enough.
So when humans arrived in New Zealand, the top herbivore in the pre-human New Zealand ecosystem were nine species of moa, ranging in size from ones the size of a turkey up the top of New Zealand, up in Te Taitoka, our Northland, to true giants of the bird world, like your South Island giant moa. And they went extinct due to habitat destruction, overhunting by humans. And in the 1800s, when Europeans got here, they wanted to create a little slice of England, so they introduced deer. And the New Zealand ecosystem hadn't evolved in the presence of deer, it evolved in the presence of birds that feed very differently to mammals. And deer basically ran amok. Now, this debate has resulted in that some hunters and anti-1080 activists don't want deer eradicated because they are a pest that eat their preferred plants into extinction. And so they came up with this theory that moa are herbivores, deer are herbivores, and deer are just replacing moa in the ecosystem, so we should not get rid of them. And this debate is flaring up with predator-free 2050 and the eradication of pests from Stewart Island and moves for control of deer numbers that are exploding on Stewart Island. So this deer versus mole debates hit the airwaves again.
How does this relate with in terms of what we understand?
When species are extinct and you're trying to reconstruct their behavioural biology, you tend to look at modern analogues. If we want to work out how a dinosaur behaved, we will look like a predatory dinosaur, we will look at modern day predators and do these comparisons. And so one of the things of comparing moa against other animals that could be what we call ecological surrogates, so animals that perform the same function or fill the same job vacancy in the ecosystem, whether that's comparing against an emu or a cassowary or a rhea or deer, or the more species we look at, the more we realise that moa were truly unique in New Zealand. They were the product of 60 million years of evolution in New Zealand and co-evolution with plants that developed these anti-browsing defences, whether it was divarication, so really tightly interlaced twigs and branches and small leaves, or spines like matagari, or toxins, or even this thing we call heteroblasty. So if you listeners will know, lancewood, a juvenile lancewood, has got long, dark brown, serrated leaves. It looks dead. It gets to 3 meters in height, so above the height a moa could reach, and it grows into a big green bushy tree. So it shows that moa were unique, and nothing can replace them in the New Zealand ecosystem.
Would you like to take this research further?
Yeah, most definitely. And the thing that needs to be done is a lot of the comparisons of looking at like what the research Landcare research has done is looking at the diet of deer versus moa. I've looked at individual areas like up the Dart River Valley. And so the more areas we can actually look at across New Zealand where we have preserved moa coprolites or preserved moa feces, and where we have deer poo as well, is that'll really start showing us more and more and more, I think, that moa are truly unique and deer are the pests that they are. It provides more evidence. This theory's been busted years ago, but the more evidence you can actually bring forth is actually still a good thing.
How does the understanding of deers versus moas, however many years ago, sort of relate to Stewart Island becoming predator free? I know you touched on it earlier, but if we
it's a good question. So the more we reconstruct about moa diet, the more we realise that moa had very important roles in the ecosystem. So they spread a fungus that's associated with New Zealand forests that helps forests spread Deer, on the other hand, can eat that fungus, but they can't spread it. Mower grazed on tiny small spring annual herbs that only really benefited from mower grazing that you don't actually have in the ecosystems anymore. And so when you start looking at all of the, say, the ecosystem services that have been lost with the extinction of mower and birds, and then start looking at the arguments that hunters and anti-1080 activists use for not wanting deer to be eradicated, when you start busting every one of those arguments, some hunters and anti-1080 activists are, then you're left with basically deer are a pest and they aren't replacing extinct birds in New Zealand. So if deer are a pest, you then have to have discussions around if we do want to eradicate predators from Rakiura or other areas of New Zealand, how do we manage that pest? Because deer can be hunted for food. So do we control numbers of the deer? Do we get them down to low enough numbers that they don't damage the environment? But are those low enough numbers, I suppose, big enough for the deer to have a sustainable population and that would keep hunters happy? Or do we say, no, they are a pest and we will get rid of them full stop because they are causing the extinction of all the plants they prefer? So it gives us a better understanding of potentially how we actually need to deal with these pests and the questions that we actually need to ask going forward.
That was Dr. Nick Rawlins from the Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago, speaking about how deer may have had something to do with the extinction of moa and how this ties in with making Stewart Island predator-free.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.